Hey, she's a big doll. You can pick her up. She will be your friend. You hear all the wonderful things about the product in the advertising. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about advertising Jesus to the world. In 1 Peter 2:9, you can follow along in your Bibles, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And when I was studying, I saw that the word proclaim could be translated advertise. We advertise the excellencies of Jesus. He has entrusted us with the advertisement of Himself so that He can draw everyone to Him, to desire Him, just as we do in a regular advertisement. So we're going to look at advertising Jesus, and we're going to really look at two things. We're going to look at our responsibility to advertise Jesus, and we're going to see how to advertise Him with quality. So I'm going to back up and read a little more of 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 4. "And coming to Him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture: Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone that the builders rejected became the very cornerstone." I read that. "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So first, as we reflect on advertising Jesus, we want to consider the fact that we are responsible as believers to advertise Jesus to the world. And Peter gives us some great images here, doesn't he? First, he begins by calling Jesus a living stone. And that word stone in the Greek is a stone that's been cut for a certain purpose. It's not just, you know, a loose stone somewhere. It's a stone that's been cut for a certain purpose. In the Old Testament, God is called the rock, and sometimes the rock of salvation. And so Peter uses that Old Testament picture here and refers it to Jesus. So then he takes that image and he applies it to us, and he said not only is Jesus a living stone, but we also are living stones. The same word, cut for God's purposes. And God is building us into this great building. So just imagine God taking us as stones, and we're living stones, and He cuts us to fit a certain purpose, and then He takes us and He builds this great building out of us, and He puts each of us exactly in the place where He purposes that we should be, exactly where He wants us to be. Now, the building here that Peter is talking about is a temple, because we see that it's called God's house and that sacrifices are being made inside this temple. And we know that as New Testament believers, we are the temple of God, and we are being built into God's building, the church, today. And it's growing and it's alive. And this is a great picture of the interconnectedness of believers. We aren't just out there sort of doing our own thing, but we are part of God's overall plan. We need each other. We grow together and we serve God together in the church. We're not supposed to just be the Lone Ranger Christian out there. Now, we know in the Old Testament that the temple was where God dwelt among His people. Now, God is everywhere, and He is always everywhere. But in a very special and unique sense, God lived among his people, the Jews, in the Old Testament, inside his temple. Throughout the Old Testament history, we see that God's Shekinah, or his glory, was a visible representation of his presence among his people, that he was dwelling among his people. We see the Shekinah as Moses and the children of Israel wander through the wilderness for 40 years because God leads them with his glory in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, showing them that he is there in their midst and he is leading them. When Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and speak with God, the top of the mountain appears to them as a consuming fire. This is God's glory. This is his Shekinah showing, his presence on top of Mount Sinai. When the tabernacle was completed, and then when Solomon completed his temple, God's glory filled the place. And I'd like us to look at 1 Kings 8, 10 and 11 to see that this is the place where Solomon's temple has been completed. And so in 1 Kings 8, verses 10 and 11, it says, "It happened that when the priests came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." It was so glorious there that the priests couldn't even stay in there because God's Shekinah, or his glory, filled the place. But we see later on, as we follow the history of Israel, that yes, they had his glorious presence with them, but they departed from God and they worshiped idols. And this went on and on and on. And finally God said, because of this, you're going into captivity. And so they go into captivity in Babylon. And one of God's spokespersons at that time was Ezekiel. He was a prophet. And he was speaking to the people. And God gave him a vision of his glory. In Ezekiel 10, verses 3 and 4, we see that Ezekiel sees the temple, even though Ezekiel is not in Jerusalem. And so it's a vision. He says, "Now the cherubim," now these were not the cherubim on the ark, these were real cherubim he's seeing. "Now the cherubim were standing on the right side of the temple when the man entered, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of the Lord." And then down in verse 18, "Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. When the cherubim departed, they lifted their wings and stood up from the earth in my sight with the wheels beside them, and they stood still at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them." God's glory departed from the temple. The people were disobedient, and God removed his Shekinah, or his glory, from the midst of the people at this time. Then, after they returned from that captivity time, in Haggai 2, they had built a new temple. But many of them who had seen the earlier temple were sad because it was not as wonderful and majestic as the first temple. And so God gave them some encouragement. And in Haggai 2, he says, "The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, and in this place I will give peace." It's going to be more glorious than it's ever been. And that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he entered that temple, which had been refurbished by Herod, but it was basically the second temple that Jesus entered. In John 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus was God's glory on earth when he was here. And now that his glory has gone to heaven, and he is not here anymore to be the glory of God on earth, 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that we are now God's temple. We are the place where God's glory dwells. We are the place where God's glory shines and is revealed to other people. As his temple, we are responsible to let that glory shine, and as such, that advertises Jesus to the world. They see His glory shining forth from us, and we show the world what Jesus Christ is like. So as His temple, we have a responsibility to advertise Jesus to the world. Back in 1 Peter 2:5, it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Peter changes the image. First, we're this building, we're this temple, and then we're the priest inside who are ministering to people. Now, under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament priest ministered in the temple. They represented the people to God. They made sacrifices on behalf of the people to God. They also kept the lamps lit in the holy place. They put out the bread in the holy place. And the high priest, once a year, would take the blood, sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant on behalf of the people for the sins of the nation. But the priests also had another responsibility. They were to be those who taught the law and who taught the people what it took, what God wanted of them. What did it mean to be God's children? What did God require of them? And that was a responsibility of the priest. And they were to tell the people who God was. They were to advertise God to the people, in a sense. Then in 2:9, you see it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We see here that it says that as a group, we are a royal priesthood. Well, that verse, essentially that verse, was first spoken to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, just before the Ten Commandments came down. So even though they had a small group of Levites who were their representatives, as a nation they were to be a priesthood. The entire nation was to be a priesthood. And what God was saying is, as a nation, you are going to show the world who I am and what I'm like. You are going to advertise me to the world. It is your responsibility as a holy priesthood to advertise me to the world. We too are spiritual priests, and we are called to advertise God to the world just as the nation of Israel was called to advertise God to the world. One translation of 2:9 says that it's to advertise the fame of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And I just love that. We are advertising His fame. We are telling people who He is. And I just love that idea. It's also our responsibility as spiritual priests to make spiritual sacrifices, as we read in 2:5. And you saw in your homework in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that as spiritual priests, part of the sacrifice we're to make is of our bodies, of our lives. We are to live our lives in worship before Him. That is part of our spiritual responsibility as His priest, is to live before Him and make spiritual sacrifices. And what we have to understand from that is, sometimes we like to distinguish, this is the sacred stuff of my life. This is the religious stuff. This is the God stuff of my life. And that involves worship, Bible study, prayer, witnessing, those kinds of things. And then I've got this other part of my life that is just secular and really has no relationship to this. This is where I go to work. This is the leisure time that I have. This is my entertainment. But if we are spiritual priests and a sacrifice that we are making is of our whole life, then there is no distinction. All of this is God's. All of this is our spiritual sacrifice before Him. All of our lives, everything we do, is part of how we worship Him and how we fulfill our responsibility as priests. So we are God's temple and we are God's priest, and as such, we are responsible to advertise Jesus to the world. But we not only see our responsibility here, we see how to advertise Him with quality. If you ever watch local television stations, which I do sometimes, you have probably seen some of the commercials for area businesses. that they have on. I've seen car dealerships, insurance companies, restaurants, and somehow the quality of those commercials is just not quite the quality of other commercials, right? And I watch those and I think, I don't think I want to participate with that business. I don't think I'm going to go there. Because the quality of the commercial is so bad, it just sort of turns me off, and I don't really want to go and have anything to do with that business. Well, I think the same thing is true with Jesus. If we don't advertise him with quality, what we are doing is making people not desire him. Instead of drawing people to him and convincing them that this is what you need, we are saying, well, you know, this is what Jesus is like, and it's not something they want. We all know people who say, I don't want to be a Christian because of the Christians I know. That's because they're not advertising Jesus with quality. We show Jesus to the world in what we do as well as what we say. And we are his temple that shines forth with his glory, so everything we do reflects on him. And all of that has to be quality. Now, Peter has kind of been building to a climax here, which you have probably noticed as we began at the beginning of the letter to this point. This is sort of a climactic part of the letter. And previous to this, he's given us five exhortations. And I believe if we will follow these five exhortations, if we will obey these five commands, that we will have quality in our advertising of Jesus. So I want us to look back at these five that have preceded chapter 2. In 1:13 it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All of those are about being prepared and expecting Jesus' return. Preparedness and expectation, because our hope is in heaven. And we've talked about that previous week, so I'm not going to go into that very much. But if we are going to have a quality advertisement of Jesus, I think our hope needs to be in heaven. We need to be looking ahead. We need to turn our focus from the here and now to the future. We need to get it off of the temporal onto the eternal. The second thing that we need to do is in chapter 1, 14 through 16. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now that complements what we've just been reading, that we are a holy nation, that we are priests who were holy, that we are a temple. All of that was holy in the Old Testament. The tabernacle was holy. The temple was holy. The priests were holy. And the reason those things were holy is the word holy just means set apart. It's like you take something and you set it apart. And things that are holy have been taken and they have been set apart for God. Set apart for God's purposes, set apart for God's plan, set apart for God's work. And that's what we see in the word holy. That's what it means. So if we are to be holy as he is holy, then we live a holy lifestyle because we're set apart for God's purposes. Our whole lives will reflect it because we're totally set apart for him. My favorite cake is a German chocolate cake, but I don't like the bakery ones. My mother has to make it. So good. She used to make me one every year on my birthday, and she said it was too hard to make more than once a year. So I would just look forward to it, really, for months in advance. I would start thinking about that German chocolate cake that was going to come. And I remember one year after my birthday celebration was over that I was just anticipating leftover cake for several days. And the next day I went and I took the cover off the cake and a big piece of it had disappeared. There just was not as much leftover cake as I had anticipated. So I went to my mother to complain and try to find out what had happened to the cake. And she said, I gave it to our neighbors. Well, it was my cake. It was my birthday cake. And you know, deep inside I knew I was being selfish, but I just could not help it because I loved that German chocolate cake. But it just seemed to me there was a principle here. It was my birthday cake that had been made for me. In a sense, it was set apart for me. And she should have at least asked me before she took my cake and gave it to someone else, right? Well, holiness is the same way. God has taken us and He has set us apart for Himself. And it is not for us then to do whatever we want with ourselves, right? He has, in 1 Corinthians 6, 20, it says, "For you have been bought with a price." He has paid for us, and He has taken us, and He has set us apart for Himself. And we belong to Him. We no longer belong to ourselves. And so, as 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says, we are to do everything for the glory of God because we are holy. We are His. We have been set apart for His purposes, for His use. And so, our whole life is to be a holy life, lived in obedience to God. So, we see if we're going to have a quality advertisement, we're going to set our hope on the future, and we're going to live a holy lifestyle in the present. Then our third exhortation is in 1 Peter 1, 17 to 19. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So it tells us to conduct ourselves in fear while we're on the earth because we're anticipating God's judgment in the future. That hope that we have in the future also involves a judgment of God. So we don't take the fact that He has made us holy lightly. We don't just dismiss that. We take it seriously because someday we will stand before Him and give an account. Now, this is not about salvation. It is about rewards. It is about what we will hear when we get to that future place. We want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We want that reward when we get there. And this is really sobering to me because earlier in my adult life and my teenage years, I really just wasted a whole lot of years and did not follow the Lord. And I don't want the rest of my life to go that way. I want to keep on moving to where when I get to heaven, He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. And so if we're going to advertise Jesus with quality, we set our hope on the future. We look at, with eternal eyes. We live a lifestyle of holiness now, remembering and understanding that we are accountable for what we do now. Because there's going to be a judgment, and we want the reward when we get there. The fourth exhortation is in 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. It says, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Word of God." We advertise Jesus with quality when we show love and unity to one another within the body of Christ. When we murmur, when we complain, when we have fights, when we have quarrels, that does not advertise Jesus with quality. That detracts from Him. So we have to love the church. That is part of how we advertise Jesus with quality. In John 17, Jesus really speaks to this. John 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer the night before He's crucified, when He prays for us and He prays for all believers. Beginning in verse 21, He says, I'll begin in 20. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in Me through their word," and that's us, "that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. The glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as We are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me." Jesus says it is that unity, it is that love we have for one another that is going to advertise him to the world. They will believe when we love one another. So that is a very important part of advertising Jesus with quality. Finally, we see our fifth exhortation in 1 Peter 2:2 that says, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." If we are going to advertise Jesus well with quality, we have to devour His Word. He says, as a baby longs for that mother's milk, that's how much we have to long for God's Word. We know we will never be totally free of sin, totally pure, totally perfect representatives of Jesus while we're on this earth. But when we are in God's Word, He is moving us upward. We should always be moving forward. He uses His Word as a vehicle to move us from immaturity to maturity. We should always be moving in that direction. But He says it's His Word that does it. It's His Word that allows us to grow, that takes us from where we are to where we need to be. God's Word has the power to wake us up from our lethargy, to challenge us to grow, to convict us of our sins. It shows us where we need to change. And that's how we more and more and more glorify Jesus on this earth. I used a silver tray that I owned just the other day, and I had to polish it. Because you know what happens to silver trays. This one particularly was very tarnished on the bottom. Because if you don't keep polishing it, it first turns kind of yellow and then it gets darker and darker and darker. It eventually will be very black if it's not polished. That's the way we are. If we don't have God's Word that we're constantly taking into our lives, just as the silver interacts with the air and blackens and doesn't shine anymore, as we interact with the world, we get darker. Our lives get darker, and we do not glorify and shine with the light of Jesus that we are supposed to. We have to constantly be taking the Word in if we are going to glorify Jesus, if we are going to be that one that advertises Him well. So if we're going to advertise Him with quality, we have to set our hope on the future. We have to live with holiness today, a holy lifestyle, understanding that we will give an account to Him. We have to love one another in the midst of this, and we have to be growing in His Word. And those are the ways that we can, with quality, advertise Jesus to the world. We are, as His priest, as His temple, His advertisement to the world. We have been given the responsibility to speak forth the fame of Jesus through our lives and through our words, and we have to do it with quality because it's our responsibility. So let me ask you, if someone made an advertisement about Jesus from your life, what would it look like? What are you really advertising? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word and the way that it does convict us and the way that it does point us to You. And I know, I pray for myself as well as for all the women in this room, that we do want to advertise You with quality. We don't want to be poor representatives of who You are. We want Your glory to shine through us. And I just pray for all of us, Father, that we would be moving in a positive direction, that You would continue using Your Word through this study and other methods of studying Your Word. Move us in that direction. Move us toward being more and more like Jesus. Father, we thank You that You have set us apart for You, that we belong to You. And I just pray, Father, that we would always have that in mind in everything we do in our lives, that we aren't to be out there just doing our own thing, that we have been set apart and You are the only one that can decide what we're to be used for. So I just thank You, Father, and pray that as we go forth from this place that we would advertise Jesus well. In His name, amen.